and welcome to Blind Handyman Show number 158, ladies and gentlemen.
Whoa.
It's May 16th, 2006. It's good to have you along today. What are we doing? Well, for the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining. All, of course, designed with the blind in mind.
That's right.
You knew that already, though. Our host for the show, ladies and gentlemen, Donald Patterson.
I don't want to talk about the same old stuff. I'm sick and tired of it. What else can we talk about?
Well, I don't know. We may have some new topics today. You never know.
Well, great. Let's do them.
Don Shaw's here, folks.
That's right. You never know with this crew, do you?
Yes, man, you just... My name's Tom Houston, by the way, but here he is, folks, the creator, producer of the Blind Handyman Show, Phil Parr.
Who woke up with a sore throat this morning?
I'm sorry about that.
I've been working on my voice, trying to get it all cleared out so I could sing again. I've had this little SARS virus for the last 3 months. Oh, what the hell it's been. I woke up, had the fan on last night, and woke up with a sore throat this morning.
Yeah, that could do it.
But I sold my stuff on eBay.
That's just not really funny.
If anybody like to buy a cordless accordion,
Reedless
accordion.
Reedless accordion.
Yeah, give us a call here.
On our 800. We have operators
standing by. Reedless accordion. What else? What other junk?
And if you call within the next 5 minutes, we'll throw
we'll come to your keyboard.
All major credit cards accepted.
We'll come to your home and demonstrate it for you.
That's right.
Except PayPal.
So what else are we trying to sell? A keyboard and a...
Ketron XD9 keyboard and a Sim Chow reedless accordion.
What did... Guy, I was reading this cop book. He said, the problem with mugging a Chinese girl is you're hungry in 30 minutes. But,
I don't know what that means.
Oh, I got to say stuff like that. Anyway, we are stumbling along here in the afternoon. Didn't get a bid on either one of them, did you, Pat?
No, I'm really disappointed. I've had good luck in the past on eBay. Probably Uncle Sam. It was tax time, maybe.
You think that's it?
People haven't recovered. But I'm a game sort of fellow. I put them back up there.
So put them back
you
on.
Still you have mean? Another opportunity with reduced
another
new
opportunity.
Reduced pricing.
So you folks want to look at those things? You can go right to eBay, and there they are. Maybe you'd like to buy one. Maybe Brent Buswell would like to have one.
We can't
find Brent Buswell.
A purist. He wouldn't consider reedless accordion.
He wouldn't even think about it.
I think not.
Yeah, we're looking for Brent. Brent, you need to email me if you happen to be listening. I have a guy that wants to talk to you really bad. His name is John German. And he wants to talk to you.
Buswell. Who is John German?
John German.
Brent Buswell. Both of them have been on the Blind Like Me.
Okay. Well, I hope if John German is listening, he could probably find Brent through their www.accordionconnections.com. They are an accordion dealer in New Hampshire, but they have some of their featured artists listed on their page, and I think Brent Buswell may be one of them.
So that might be a way to...
Or call and talk to the guy up there. I can't think of his name, the owner up there. But anyway, and somebody might help you out.
That might be a way to find Brent Buswell. The search is on. Anyway, I don't know what else is going on. I woke up with a sore throat this morning. I had my voice all cleared out, and now I'm, again. It's just terrible. I getting old as hell.
It is a hell of a deal, isn't it?
It's awful.
It's
bunch of old guys sitting around. We're back in the studio today as opposed to being at Don Pat's. That worked out good, though.
It did. It really worked out fine.
Enjoyed it, yeah.
It worked out. We'll have to go.
It's odd, though. We had planned that for some time, a little bit.
Yep.
And so the weather that day was hot as hell.
It was.
We have had, October weather here for the last couple of weeks. Under the pavilion. We had to hide under our desks inside with the air conditioner going on.
We could almost do it today.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Perfect.
It's a little bit warm, but we've got the air conditioner on, but only because we don't have any windows open because we don't want to hear Frankie. Well, let's see. What else do we do? You know, Tommy?
Oh, yes. Here we go. Here's a guy that's thinking of making framework for a gate.
Okay.
About 45 inches long, two feet wide, out of a 1x4 wood.
Yep.
What kind of joint should I use at the corners, and how should I fasten the corners, is his question. John's his name.
I would do just regular corners. I mean, I wouldn't do 45-degree corners. I'd just measure the depth, the top to bottom, and across, and just build a square frame. Then in the middle. I would measure the distance from the top corner to the bottom corner, and I would cut me an angle brace to go in the middle across that would brace the whole thing to keep it from, you understand what
getting
I'm saying?
Getting a square.
And I wonder if, I mean, a two-foot gate, is this in a fence?
It says 45 inches long, 2 feet wide.
That seems very narrow.
And he's doing it out of 1x4.
A walk-through gate. Well, yeah.
2 feet wide?
Yeah, I mean, most sidewalks are like three. Wouldn't you want, I mean...
Well, yeah, doors are 3 feet wide.
Yeah, most of them. I think
2 feet is rather narrow, but if that's your choice, it's your gate. I would do like exactly like Phil says, the angle, because if you don't, it'll sag.
Yeah.
And just make sure you use, maybe on that high, you could probably get away with two hinges. If you had a post over there, if you could put three hinges, you might want to do that.
And if the post is close to a structure, take a, you know, get a piece of strapping material, and tie the post to whatever structure you know, if it's right up next to the house, just take a piece of strapping material and go around the post and tie it into the house, because it'll, gate is a heavy. I was assuming that he was talking about building a double thick gate, because he was talking about making a, read the email again. I'm confused.
Okay, it's 45 inches long, 2 feet wide. He's making it out of 1x4.
What kind of joint should I make? I assume...
That's the question, yes.
I think he meant when he says 45 inches high. Isn't that what the long would be? I don't know what long and then wide.
45 inches long.
Yeah, long. He must mean the height of it. If it's a gate, is it on a 4-foot fence, would be 48 inches. So 45 inches, I mean, when he's saying long, I assume then he means tall. And then 2 feet wide, is that...
That doesn't seem right.
That's a pretty narrow gate,
what
boy.
What are you saying here?
Yeah.
A lot of us couldn't get through that in our former condition.
Yeah, try that. 45 inches wide and 2 feet.
You might try that. Anyway, just make sure you put an angle brace across. Or, in the alternative, you can buy a thing called a turnbuckle that you put at each end, and when you turn the middle of it, it pulls the gate up. You see a lot of gates with those. But I'd put an angle brace across, and it shouldn't sag. Tie the post to the house.
See, once again, we have probably sent a guy on his way with all the information he doesn't need.
You think so?
I mean,
you think so, huh?
If you had the mitered corners, let's say the angled corners of 45, and you used the turnbuckle you were talking about, wouldn't that work also?
Yeah, that would work also, but then, you know, why not put a brace across from corner to corner? You know?
That's true.
Yeah, if he's using 1x4s, I'm wondering if he's using 1x4s like a picket. Or if they're,
I thought.
Or is he going to, in other words, because in that case, say if you were going to build a gate and use 1x4s kind of with spaces in between them, you would run those vertically. That would be your 45-inch board.
Yeah.
And you'd cut you a piece across the top, the width of your gate, 2 feet.
And a piece across the middle and a piece across the bottom.
Or a piece across the top and bottom, and then run your angle from one corner to the other. You wouldn't really have to do it twice. You wouldn't have to make an X. You'd really just kind of make a letter Z.
Well, you'd make the angle the way it was going to sag. In other words, you'd put the angle. Let me think now. You'd put the angle. I'd put the top of the angle closest to the post, the hinge post.
That's the way I would.
Is that the way you'd do it?
Yeah.
And run the bottom the other way. And if you do that right and cut the angles right, you shouldn't have any. You know, build a gate. Take a longer board than you need and start cutting the angle until you get it right. I mean, until it flushes up.
That's exactly what I did when I built the gate of the fence on North Street over there, the walk-through gate over by the air conditioner side of the house.
I didn't know you put a gate over there.
Cut the angle. Yeah, when I did the fence project, I did the one angle board, and I made, put the top at the side by the post that the gate hangs on.
Yeah.
And the bottom on the other side, and over the, it sagged a little. I'd say it sagged a bit over the year, or else the ground has washed a little bit and has gotten higher.
As the whole post's
doing good.
I imagine the ground is washed. Has the whole post sagged?
No, I think the gate part is a little bit out of square now.
Well,
for whatever reason.
But ground will, we'll get up against that, washing. From the way your property flows down that way.
Speaking of gates, we have one in our picket fence, and it's like 4 feet wide. It's single gate, and the guy braced it really good. We haven't had any sagging problems.
Yeah.
The only problem we've had is with the latch mechanism, because it's really kind of a not very good design.
Yeah.
This is where on the gate itself is with screws that hold it on, is a little rod that sticks out.
Yeah.
And then it goes into what the mechanism mounted on the post.
And it's supposed to drop down. You're supposed to, when you close the gate, it goes up and then drops back down into a little niche.
The rod pushes in a thing that allows it to clear and then springs back, or by gravity comes back and catches the little bar.
Yeah.
And over, it's been up there probably a year and a half or 2 years, the constant closing of the gate knocks the screws loose from the wood that holds the little bar on. And so I'm already on my third set of screws, bigger screws. And so eventually I will have to probably fill those holes up with
lag
my favorite liquid nail and then put the screws back
on. Or lag bolts, or go all the way through and put a nut on. Put a nut, bolt and nut on. But gate, a little old simple gate, isn't that hard to build. Just make a long board and keep cutting until you get to, start out with a say, a 22-degree angle and make sure it fits at the top and then cut the bottom and brace it. You ought to be in good shape. Let us know how you come out, sir.
The gate I did is 36 inches wide. And it's good. I mean, the lawnmower and everything goes through. Everything has gone through good that I've needed to do with it so far, so...
Okay.
All right.
Well, here's a guy that wants some input on a workbench that he wants to build. It would be about 5 feet long, 2 feet wide, 3 to 3.5 feet high. He wants to anchor it to 2x4 studs in his shed.
Yeah.
He would also like to anchor the front of the bench to the studs to avoid using legs on the front. How should I anchor and what kind of dimensions of wood should I use? I would like to use some bench tools on the bench, such as a grinder, a bench drill press. I also have a vise I can attach. What tools or implements does one need to use bench dogs? John.
Well,
I didn't get the part about bench dogs.
Why doesn't he want legs on the front?
Bench dogs is the way it reads.
I don't know what bench dogs are.
No.
Yes, you do.
What is a bench dog?
You saw them at the blind school. They had this table, and it had little holes in it. Remember? You could take the vise, and you could put one of these little bench dogs in a hole, and then you could push this thing up to the bench dog and tighten it up with a vise. It had little holes all along the table. You know what I'm talking about? No?
No. Well, I can tell you real quick, the no legs on the front is a good idea. It makes it easier to clean up, and those angle cuts on those boards are going to be 45 degrees.
They'll be 45 degrees.
You're just going to have to get the right length, but I mean, the one going up against your wall, the stud over there by your wall, is going to be a 45 degree, and the one coming up to the bottom of your workbench.
Now the bench is going to be 45.
It's going to be 45 degrees, uh-huh. And I like that concept because it's very easy to sweep.
Yep.
And I'm sure that's probably what you're doing. 2 feet is probably the right. You'll be able to. You won't. It doesn't give you a lot of room, and then if you're ever going to use a miter saw, I don't know that that's enough room.
It's not.
Push the miter
saw deep enough.
Front and back.
My workbenches are 4 feet deep. The ones in the shop in there, and that's really about right. 2 feet is that's going to be. You're going to say, "Damn, that's a narrow little bench," because you're going to have cans of stuff sitting on the back of it. You're going to have tools hanging behind it.
Well, I can give you, for instance, that we bought some new furniture to go in our study, i.e. music room, and I bought it, and they're 30 inches wide, maybe 29 deep, and my keyboard just barely. So, in other words, if you want any excess, I would consider at least 3 feet.
I would do
I wouldn't go any less than 3 unless you're really hurting for space, and then you may want to consider a different location.
48 inches.
Or you may want to consider a freestanding table if you're going to. Because, I have a workbench in the garage, the original, where I originally started out fooling with this stuff. And I put my vise on it, and about 2 years after that, I looked back there, and I'd pulled it off the wall. And it was nicely braced. You just, when you start putting pressure on stuff.
I find that 4 feet, something deep, is awkward for me, reaching across.
That's too deep?
Yeah, I mean, I would consider 3 feet, but also maybe, I don't know what the situation is. Like you said, one time I had the neatest workbench, and it had been my dad. It was like a cabinet with a nice Formica top with holes in it to fit
the
vise.
Nice.
And it was on rollers. And it was about 4 feet long. And you could just it stayed up against the wall when you didn't want it, but then if you needed it out in the middle of the floor, I just rolled it out from the wall. It had the vise and the grinder and a couple of things on it.
My workbench is, we just took a piece of 4x8 sheet of plywood and well, so I guess they're 2 feet. 4x8 sheet of plywood, they're just 2 feet, aren't they?
Yeah, probably.
That's what I said. Two feet will be plenty.
Two feet
will be that'll be all you'll need.
But will that do your miter saw? Can you?
No,
use your
you wouldn't
saw
put. You couldn't put your miter saw up there. You couldn't slide it. I mean, that's just for that's for the bench grinder and the sander and little stuff.
I'm trying to think. Most desks, you know, are like I think 32 or 36 inches. I mean, most table, you know, a good. So I wouldn't, you know, but the braces, to answer your question again, if the front braces to hold the top of your table up, if you're anchored right, is all of that's going to be 45 degrees.
Yeah, and it'll just go down and connect with the wall at the bottom and connect with your workbench at the top.
Yep.
And so, you know, first thing you do is screw a 2x4, level it, and screw it to the wall, to the studs, with some drywall screws, about 8 of them. Every time you can find a stud, put 2 drywall screws in it. And then put your workbench on, build a frame around. I'd build the frame first and lay the top on, wouldn't you?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, or build that frame like you were talking about. Put that one backboard and build a frame out of 2x4s around, and then
around it, and brace it. Use your level. Take your level of some kind. If you don't have a talking level, get somebody to level it. You think that's not important, but it is when that drywall screw's rolling away from you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
Let's see. I've got a Labradoodle. I've got a... I've got a Border Collie. We have a King Charles Cavalier, and then we got a... But I don't have a bench dog.
Yeah, bench dogs are little things that go in front of your vise that allow you to use... If your vise will only open, say, 8 inches, well, these would be like... 5 inches back from your vise, so that would give you 11 inches or 12 inches, 13 inches, that you could put something in your vise, and the back of it would go against these bench dogs, and that way you could put something bigger in your vise. Mr. Ibbotson showed me this. It's got to be right. And would he tell me wrong?
God, don't mention that to Emily. You still want one.
He's a bench dog. She would. I thought about that. Mr. Ibbotson told me to get out of the cabinet and stop stealing screws. They were his screws. You know, they were the state screws. I wish I hadn't heard enough to tell him that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have my own screws now. To hell with him. I don't need him. We'll be back. Who's our guest, Donald?
Jim Terry. We're going to visit with him today.
Let's do that in just a minute. More of the exciting Blind Andy Man Show. Hang on.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the handyman list, and it worked.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman list, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman list, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my can caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your can is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at blindmysmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
Man, that was touching.
That was touch and go for a little while, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think we're going to make that.
Hey, Jim Terry, we made it. We're back.
Well, that's great.
It is, isn't it? We We slid through another one.
We didn't think we were going to get you there. We had a little technical problem, and you know how that goes. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty well.
Where are you?
I'm doing... Hold on just a second. Let me take my hooded sweatshirt off here.
All right. We want to wait till Jim undresses here right on the show. A lot of you don't get to see that, but in a little town, but we have a guy undressing on the radio. That's one thing that we haven't had before, but we do now. Jim. Jim is Jim's in the bathroom. Jim.
Well, Jim. You guys always have such a good time.
We do. We work
always
at it.
Have fun.
We work at having fun.
It
that's
must
what it,
be cold up there, Jim.
You had that sweatshirt on. Where are you?
I'm in College Park, Maryland, which is just a little bit north of Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, they say that we're kind of a mixture of a north and south here. And, you know, we get all kinds of weather, and they never get it right when they predict it.
Yeah. Well, what were you doing when we called that you needed a heavy sweatshirt? Were you outside?
I work at the University of Maryland as a maintenance dispatcher.
Uh-huh.
And I just got in from walking home from the bus stop.
Oh, yeah?
And it's about a quarter-mile walk. It isn't too bad.
Now, a maintenance dispatcher, in other words, they call you about the problem, and you dispatch someone to fix it.
Yes.
How'd that do?
And so, of course, part of it is playing detective. You know, they say, I got a ceiling leak. And, of course, there can be many causes for a ceiling leak. So you try to pin it down and send the right shop the first time.
Yeah, because it could be a plumber. It could be someone who does construction who would have to tear the ceiling apart. It could be all kinds of
air conditioner problems.
It could be air conditioner.
Curious, Jim. I mean, the University of Maryland. I mean, this would be like their main campus, or
yes, I'm on the main.
And so,
campus.
How many maintenance guys are we talking about? I mean, how many? What student population are you talking about that you kind of oversee here?
Well, let me think here. The campus itself, they say, during a normal work day, holds around 35,000 people.
Really?
Wow.
And so it gets crowded. And there's probably about 200 buildings, believe it or not.
Counting dorms and all, right?
Counting dorms and all.
Yeah.
And,
good heavens.
When I first started there over 25 years ago, we did the dorms and everything, but now they've got a separate shop that does the small stuff in the dorms, and then when it gets to be steam and heavy piping and all, then they call us.
And you're right, the university's in right beautiful downtown what? Where?
It's in College Park, Maryland, which is about 5 miles north of the D.C. line.
Okay, and so Baltimore is there someplace too, right?
Yeah, we're maybe, I don't know, 25 or 50 miles south of Baltimore. And, of course, they have a campus on Baltimore, which, you know, I'd love to go visit sometime, because that's where the serious students are, the medical students.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
And things like that. College Park is the main all-around students that love to tear stuff up.
I gotcha.
Love to tear stuff up. I guess that many buildings, you do need a big maintenance department, don't you?
Yeah, they have a fair... counting janitors and that sort of thing, you know, the people that do the cleaning and so forth, I was quoted a figure one time of 900 employees.
Yeah.
Well, just to follow this up, let me ask you this. Is there a guy in the evening that takes your place? I mean, do they have to have a dispatcher all shifts?
We're around the clock.
Wow.
And in fact, there's probably there's three or four of us during the day.
Whoa, goodness.
And, you know, people say, well, why don't you have separate... You can have separate offices, and we don't even have partitions because we got to hear what each other are doing to try not to duplicate.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
so we kind of sit at a long bench, a long table sort of a deal, and it has, you know, five or six telephone stations, and they have the radios and the pagers, and, of course, now some of them use cell phones, too. So as you can imagine, the computer and I used to use what they call it, the Arctic Transtype, and that finally got flaky, so I recently got one of those Pac-Mates, and so, you know, with a larger PC and then a note taker, all that stuff comes in real handy.
What is the level of your vision?
I have no vision.
Okay, so, and just one other question, and now Phil can move on with it. But the job, you said there's four or so of you today. Do they particularly, did they cater to hiring blind folks? Did a state aid? I mean, this is a neat job.
Yeah.
And the fact that you've been there 20-something years, so did a commissioner, a state agency help you get this? You get it on your own or what?
Well, it is a wonderful job, and even though it doesn't pay as much as some of the jobs around here, I really like what I do.
Right.
It turned out that, how was this? It just turned out that I went for an interview. You know, I heard there was an opening, and a couple of the guys that were doing the interviewing happened to be members of a Lions Club.
Okay, yeah. Way to go.
Yeah.
So I think that really helped.
It did,
so,
I'm sure.
There's no other blind people, you know, in the area, and I'm kind
great.
Of.
I mean, that's good too.
Yeah.
But Jim, just so you'll feel better, no company has ever paid me what I was worth. Never. It's never happened.
It never does.
And very, very unlikely to ever happen.
Yeah, I theoretically could retire in about 2 years.
Yeah.
But I'm still paying on a mortgage on a house and so forth.
And,
I have a nice little house here.
Is that right?
And, so what is your age, Jim?
My age is, you know, I quit counting after 50,
okay.
But it's around 53. I guess
you're a junior to this crew here.
I was born in 1952, so I really love listening to you guys because you've been through a lot of the stuff. You know, my kids are still teenagers.
Really?
I got a boy and a girl, and, uh-oh.
What?
I'm talking to the handyman guys, honey.
Is that your wife or your daughter?
That's my daughter.
Oh, well, tell her hello. We're nice
and
guys.
And I'm going to tell plenty of stories about her.
All right.
Yeah.
So you got a wife and kids and a house in College Park, Maryland, just like a sighted guy might have.
That's right.
It's amazing, isn't it? Huh?
Yeah, I'm very fortunate. My wife, Holly, is blind also.
Uh-huh.
And she works for the Weather Service doing inventory stuff. She says it's real boring, but it helps pay the bills.
What is her level of vision?
She has none either.
She has no. Neither one of you have vision.
Yes.
But both of your children can see.
My daughter has a very low level of vision.
Yeah.
She inherited a small eye disease where they didn't fully develop. My son can see just fine.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to school up in Cumberland, Maryland right now, studying to be an auto mechanic.
Really?
Okay. Thank you. Well, I wanted the bigger leash, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You wanted a what? A beer?
Yeah, I do. I want that, too.
Well, you can have that while you do this show. We allow it.
That's right.
Yeah, if we didn't, most of us wouldn't show up.
Yeah, what I'm going to do here is...
in fact, we'll do the sound effect.
We have a little dog, and I'm getting ready to take her out.
Oh, okay.
On the it's not a guide dog, just a little 40-pound mutt.
Just a pet. Yeah.
But she loves it when I come home. So, yeah, we have a lot of fun here.
Well, it sounds like you do. Sounds like your life is good. What was our topic here?
Oh, we was going to talk a little bit about an air conditioner maintenance program that I think him and his daughter, he's going to tell us about. I think they may have just done this little project.
Some repair on an air conditioner?
Uh-huh.
Some AC maintenance.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
All right.
Not any real major stuff. You know, if I had a little bit of vision, maybe I would try to solder the lines and so forth. But so I haven't gotten into putting in Freon or anything like that yet. But
yet.
Of course. Yeah. Well, you know, back last time we talked, Smith, about the Smith Kettlewell Eye Institute there out in
California.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah, Webster. I know that he modified Freon gauges. I read an article once where he had done things like that.
This really? Is Tom Fowle, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom or Jerry.
Yeah.
And I actually got to go out and visit those guys once, years ago.
Oh, that would have been neat. Oh,
it was just fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
To spend, you know, we just spent like an hour or two in their little lab. And it was just, and they were going to show me something. And Holly was with me. And they said, well, we want you to see this. They said, Jim's already seen this stuff. We want you to see it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Talk about a neat job now.
So they've modified Freon gauges where a guy could really see the supply side and whatever they call the other of an air conditioner.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get too many details, but that's one of the things that they have done. In fact, they did. Hi, here comes Holly. I'm talking to the handyman guys.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, so they. I know they also had a guy that could do work on automatic transmissions.
Uh huh.
And he was pretty well trained, and you know, went through all the hoops and everything. And then the places that would hire said, "Oh, we can't do that. There's too many insurance problems."
Yeah, they at one time they trained. You remember Lamar King, Sean?
Yeah,
went
gym. Kind of deal.
Yeah, they trained blind guys. They thought that would be a good thing for blind guys to do would be repair automatic transmissions, and then most of them couldn't find jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was, that
and from what I hear at my job, they have these, what do they call them? Backflow preventers. You know, that's one of the tests you have to take when you become a licensed plumber. You have to take one of these backflow preventers apart. You know, it keeps, like if you have a hose, it keeps the groundwater from going back up into the water system.
Okay.
And a lot of, especially when you're in mechanical rooms and things like that, they have, you know, you don't want the air conditioning chemicals to go back into the water system or anything like
that.
So they have these fancy, fancy backflow preventers that have about a gazillion parts in them that you have to take apart and put back together. That's one of the things they do to get their plumbing license. That was kind of interesting.
Well, what did you and your daughter do to your air conditioner?
So what we did, the condenser started blowing fuses.
Okay.
The
compressor started.
There's something wrong when you start blowing fuses.
The compressor started blowing fuses.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
The unit outside.
I'll be walking around here, honey, if you want to take her. So we're walking the dog here. So I have a large unit outside here, and I don't know how many people have seen this, but, you know, on the wall, we have the fuse block panel. It's like a little door that you open up.
Yeah.
And inside is
a breaker.
A big giant breaker.
A big flat handle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you pull this handle out, and there's this assembly, and it has two of those cartridge fuses in it. They're about like 2 inches long and about a half inch in diameter. And I guess they're rated at 240 volts. You know, it's a big 220 unit here. And of course, it's in a plastic weatherproof box. Now, one time, I was doing something with the choir, and the family turned on the AC, and they heard this big boom outside.
Yeah.
And I went out to, of course, the first thing I wanted to check was the fuse.
Uh-huh.
I went out to open that little weatherproof door, and the door was gone.
Gone.
That thing had blown clean off.
Wow.
And I thought, well, it's gone forever. You know, I'll just have to probably buy a whole new box. And then a few weeks later, my son comes and says, "Hey, what's this, Dad?" And it was the door.
But it had blown off the box.
It had blown off the box.
What
it was on plastic
hell?
Hinges.
What happened? Good Lord. Come on, what happened there?
Yeah, so the fuse had blown. And, of course, I'm, you know, I like having meters and all that, and I'm a ham radio guy. But when it comes to testing these fuses, you know, the meters sometimes, these digital ones especially, don't always work. So I take that little cartridge out, and I pull it out, and I take a 9-volt battery, and I touch my tongue to one side and my lip to the other.
Uh-huh.
Not too moist. You know, if it's too moist, you get zapped too hard. But, you know. And I can tell, because sometimes only one of the fuses will blow when that happens. So, you know, those fuses aren't real cheap, so... I check each fuse, see which one is blown, and then replace it.
Yeah.
And then shove that little assembly back in. And the nice thing about the assembly is if you turn it, you take it out and turn it around 180 degrees, you can shove it in, but the fuses are not actually connected, so that when you're in the winter mode, you leave it like that so that if somebody accidentally turns the compressor on, it won't freeze up, you know, in the very cold temperatures. So
you took it out, changed it, figured out which fuse was bad, bought the fuse.
Figured out which fuse was bad, and I keep a supply of them. You can buy them by the box. And I figured that's... Because at least every year, two or three, you know, over the course of the summer, with thunderstorms and various other things, you end up losing two or three of them at least. So then I said, well, it's time to try to clean out this condenser. So I took the top, took more screws off than I needed to the first time. But there's a top assembly. And my wife's going to take the dog here. Let me get
Usually the fan hangs on that top assembly. Is that the way yours was?
Yep.
The fan is hanging on that. So when you take the top assembly off, you got the fan and the top assembly in your hand.
Yeah. And that's what I wanted because... I wanted to clean out the coils.
Yeah.
So I took the garden hose... Well, first, before I did that, and I said, well, there's a lot of leaves down in here.
Yeah.
I said, Tracy, this is your time to shine. And I can't remember exactly how old she was. Probably about 11 or 12 at the time.
Yeah.
And so I got my
still
top
gullible.
Back out. And I said, now get that shop vac hose in there, and let's get all these leaves cleaned out.
Uh-huh.
And she says, Dad, are you sure there's no power connected here? And I says, oh, yes, I have pulled the fuse block. I've turned the breaker off. There is definitely no power in there. So she cleaned that out, got all the leaves out.
All right.
We wiped it out with dirt. And then we took the hose and sprayed some water through the coils. Not too hard, but kind of.
Yeah, because you can sure damage them if you spray too hard.
Yeah,
spray
too hard. I didn't even... I don't even know if I used one of those fittings. I think I just let the plain water.
No, you don't. You don't want to use. You don't want to use the pressure.
You don't want to use a pressure sprinkler.
No, but they also make a chemical that you can spray on those coils and leave it set 10 minutes and then spray it off.
Uh huh.
And spray from the inside out.
From the inside out.
Yeah, and I've also heard that they make a chemical. I haven't used it yet, but you can put on your A coil on the inside. And that as the water drips, it helps to catch any dirt that's on there and helps to take it off.
Okay, guys, I'm going on 2 years on mine, and I don't have any trees around. When am I supposed to do this?
About once a year.
You're kidding.
Go look at it.
Yeah,
and see.
Just look at it anyway.
But not having any trees will help a lot.
That'll help a whole lot.
Oh,
even
yeah.
if you don't have trees, like in my case, there's grass. You know, I go around it every few weeks when I think of it and pull up the grass. But, you know, because of the water that drips there and everything, the grass just loves to grow there. So you get grass in it, too. Yeah.
Well, and you got a big air conditioner fan sucking crap into the coil.
Yeah, pioneers and crap.
Pulling stuff. I mean, it's sucking from the top, blowing air out the top, so it's sucking air through those coils on the side.
Yeah, any kind of grass. My dog likes to dig over in that area, so dirt. You know?
Yeah, no grass clippings, anything.
Oh, yeah. And you start about. You really need to do it once a year.
Yeah. Now, another once-a-year thing that I've had to do pretty much out of necessity is the igniter for the gas furnace. And, you know, you think, oh, something like that. You know, in the old days, the glow coil would last for years and years.
Should.
So we got this nice new furnace with a, turns out it had a ceramic igniter.
Uh-huh.
And that son of a gun must have worked about 4 months. And it went out,
uh-huh.
And it's cold, and at that time my kids were like 2 and 3 years old, and my wife's getting upset, and we called the repairman, and got another one, and then it happened again a few months later, and we go, why is this furnace eating igniters?
Yeah.
And so I'm saying to the repairman, well, you know, this it takes time to get you here and to get the igniter and all that. Can I do this myself? And, of course, most of the repairmen are saying, oh, you can't work on a furnace. There's fire in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, you can. It just plugs in.
Yeah. So I finally, one of my friends from work looked at it one day, and I said, let's look at this and see if we can figure out why it's eating them all the time. And he kind of looked at it, and he showed me where it was, and he scratched it. And he said, well, you know, this furnace is not that far off the kitchen. And so it's... When you have kitchen grease, that gets onto the igniter, and it'll make hot spots, and that's one of the things that could be shortening the life of it. But we also know some other people that have that model, and it's just, a couple of years later, they lengthened the warranty, and they must have solved the problem. But
You know, I had a similar problem, but mine was a path problem. When they got the path between the igniter and the fuel just right, that's been 5 years. I've not had another problem.
Really?
Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah, I've noticed one time when I cleaned in there real good with the shop vac.
Yeah.
That seemed to help also.
But
you know, you got to watch these repairmen. You know, they're there and gone, and they watched it run through one cycle.
Yeah.
And then my furnace was going, it would start to ignite again, and the flame would come on and burn for a little while, and then the whole thing would shut off. And I said, well, this is just not right.
Okay.
I got up one night, 2 o'clock in the morning, when I had no distractions, and I found the limit adjustments, and there was these 3 levers.
Yep.
And so I thought, well, I don't know how they're marked, but I can just start counting time. And I ran it through its cycles and counted time, and I figured out which one controlled how long the flame was on, which one controlled. And I finally got them adjusted the way they should be.
Well, there's one that determines the length of time that it will come on after it ignites.
Yeah.
Now, where it doesn't come on instantly, it takes it a few minutes before it...
Yeah, you got to let it warm up so you're not blowing cold air all around.
And the second one determines how long it runs after the fire is gone.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the third one does.
And the third one, I forget what the third one does. It has something to do with the intensity of the temperature or the length of the fan. And when I would change one, they were all kind of interrelated. So you think, you know, you leave two alone and just change the third one. Well, it didn't work that way. So you had to keep fooling with it. But... I was finally able to. I could notice a big difference in the gas bill once that was adjusted properly. And you know, sometimes if the furnace had been heating up, you might have to wait for a few minutes for the little dials to cool off just a little bit.
Sure.
And but with some trial and error, it actually did work.
That's amazing that you got up. That's
neat.
That's kind of stuff I do. Like I remember we had a problem at the radio station with we had a hum somewhere and nobody could find it. So I went down at 3 o'clock in the morning and turned the building off and started turning switches, breakers back on until I found it. You know, whether a sighted person would have thought to do that, but I was just as comfortable in the dark as I was in the daytime.
Okay.
Just like you were. Yeah, up in the attic, I didn't bother you a bit.
Yeah, so that works out. Well, my normal getting up time is around 4 anyway.
Yeah.
Because I have to be at work by 7. But, another project we did.
Wait a minute. How did the air conditioner come out? Did you get it back running?
Oh. Okay. Yeah, and I ended up I disconnected the motor so it would have a little more, you know, so they weren't just hanging by the wires. So, yeah, I put some oil in the motor, and my son had absconded with my nice oil with a long flexible hose. I got some.
Did the motor have oil ports on it for you to oil?
Is this the fan motor we're talking about, right?
Because that's a dangerous thing to do.
The big condenser fan, yeah.
Okay, are those not sealed units? I mean,
I'm trying to remember now, which I think it did have a couple little oil ports, believe it or not.
Okay, because if it doesn't, you can. That's a dangerous thing to do if it doesn't.
Yeah, there was one at the top and one at the bottom.
Okay.
And just for good measure, I put a little bit on the shaft, too. But, of course, you know, not too much. And put it back in there. And, of course, getting everything lined up so the screws would go back in, that took me, seemed like half a day.
Yeah.
Trying to keep you getting, well, that motor is so heavy,
trying to keep
your hands from getting pinched.
You put one on each corner, and then the rest of them will line up, usually.
Yeah, well, this air conditioner is an oval shape. It's a And but I was able to finally get just about all the screws to line up and put it back together.
There's 20 of them. Why the hell do you need 20 anyway?
I don't know.
Why wouldn't 4 do it?
I don't know. Why they put so many?
So are you saying that you had some left over, Jimbo? Is that?
Well, I'm saying it wasn't too many left over. One or two.
Do you have a jar there at the house for leftover screws?
And they're in a medicine bottle above your workbench, are they?
And I saved them in my little bin. And, of course, I don't remember which drawer I put it in.
You say the new homeowner can go ahead and put them in if he wants to, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, favorite for the next guy. If the air conditioner top was going to to fly off at some point in time. Maybe you'd need 20. Why wouldn't 6 do it? One on each corner and one in the middle. 8 would easily do it, and then there's 30.
Well, I wonder if they do it to keep it from rattling.
Now, that's possible, but I'll tell you what'll help that. People make fun of me for saving popsicle sticks. But people who do things don't make fun of me because popsicle sticks are wonderful. You recognize it's rattling, go ahead and figure out where it's rattling and stick a popsicle stick between it and the metal. And it won't rattle anymore.
There you go.
I've got a drawer full of popsicle sticks.
I wish we could get you to quit saving them. Do you know that Emily bought a box, must have been 5,000 of them, and the kids play with them at school.
Popsicle sticks?
Yeah, and they're not expensive.
I didn't know you could buy them.
I have a humongous box full of popsicle sticks.
Well, don't get rid of them, because I used the other day, something happened, and I thought, well, a popsicle stick. Sure enough. My daddy showed me, because on those old radios, old tube-type radios, you didn't exactly know what was going on. So he'd take a popsicle stick and probe around, and then he found an arc.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
And so he showed me the benefit of saving popsicle sticks. Max Robinson would know about that. Anyway, so air conditioner worked.
And so I put it back together, and by golly, she really did work, and I was blowing a lot less fuses. And so, of course, it's that time of year, I need to do it again. I think I skipped it last year.
Yeah.
But,
it's definitely time.
How long has it been since you had the inside coil cleaned, the actual condenser coil in the house?
That's been probably about 10 years now, but I did have a serviceman look at it.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see how my Freon level was and so forth, and he said it looked fine. And the reason he said it looked fine is because I used one of those universal filters, like you can get it at the hardware store, for allergy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a real expensive allergy filter because my kids had asthma when they were young, and that lasted about 5 years. And then I started looking around the hardware store, and I said, oh, by golly, you know, they got the same, practically the same filter for about a third of the price.
Yeah.
And you have to cut them down a little bit to fit, you know, to fit in the little space that you have.
They restrict your airflow some also.
They restrict the airflow some, but I've noticed that the newer ones don't restrict it as much.
Yeah.
The fellow that put the unit in told me, he said, don't use those paper filters. He said, they don't filter all that well. I mean, they're better than nothing.
Oh, okay.
But he said, you know, get one of those plastic filters, and then you can just wash it out every couple of months.
Yeah.
And, you know, talk about that before I forget. Have you all seen the thing on the, that's been going around the internet about the, why you shouldn't use the fabric softener sheets in your dryer?
Yeah, I think that's BS. Yeah,
I think that's I don't believe that. I'm not accepting that.
Not buying into that theory.
Chicken Little, the sky is not falling.
What I want you to do this time, Jim, is when you enter into this procedure again, when you get ready to put it back, I want you to move it, swivel it around one screw hole over. We've got to get all these screws back in this fan. See, that would drive me up the wall.
Not having all the screws
in? That's right.
I don't care.
It's like hanging a picture crooked. So I want you to spend a little more time, Jim. Try to get all the screws
but
back.
Listen, let me say one more thing. If I'm not mistaken, this fuse box is archaic technology.
That's an old shotgun shells.
Those old shotgun shell fuses. Man. You need to get somebody to replace that with a breaker box.
That's right. Because when we got our new unit, they put in a new. It's just a regular breaker switch.
That's old, and that's costly, and you don't need that. Get somebody to put you a good heavy set of 220 breakers out there, and you won't blow any more fuses.
That's right.
Yeah, maybe they could do. Of course, there is a breaker inside also.
Well, yeah, I know, but you got to have one outside.
Outside also.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea, and I didn't know I didn't know why they did it that way. I thought maybe there was some electrical. I'll have to check the Maryland.
Just old technology.
That's
the
way they
used to do it. One of the houses we had one like that.
Oh, I've seen houses, but that's archaic technology, as they say. You need some electrician to come out and, you know,
put in a breaker box.
Go buy you a small breaker box and mount it on the wall and get him to wire it up for you, and you won't blow anymore.
Yeah, and that would be a real good thought.
That whole problem.
That'll eliminate that little problem. Aren't you glad didn't we help? No.
I'll tell you.
Probably not. Pathetic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's something.
Man, you've been a great guest, and I'd like to sit down and visit with you sometime. Maybe we'll get that chance.
Well, I'm hoping that my wife and I have just discovered train travel. because my son is living up in Cumberland now, and that's the best way, the easiest way when you don't drive to get up there.
Oh, yeah.
And so, who knows? We retire. Maybe we can take a train trip out there to Texas.
Come down to Texas. You guys need to come down to Texas in November anyway, retired or not.
We're having a nice gathering in November, and the one thing we promise is no motivational speakers to make you feel like a fool because you're not out conquering the world.
Except I'm going to be talking about replacing all the screws in fan motors.
We're gonna sing and dance and drink and do two shows, and that's about it.
Well, that sounds good. Maybe I can get my daughter to dance, because I told her, she said she wants internet in her bedroom. And I said, well, if you want it, you got to help. So she helped drill the holes, and I said, you got to crawl under the house with me, which it's all wet and scungy, you know. I ran one direction, she ran the wire the other direction, we met in the middle and snapped it together. I didn't try to do the jacks and plugs and all that. I just used the telephone connector type stuff. And, you know, it's quick and it's dirty, but it works.
Jim.
And it's been working several years.
Several years. Okay. Well, you know you can do it wirelessly very easily now.
I know.
It can be done wireless.
But at the time when I did it, the wireless stuff was just coming out.
Oh, I crawled around my attic Grand Cat 5 when I was way too damn old to be doing it. But they're all hardwired, and I'm happy with them, you know. And all the screws are in the top of my air conditioner, by the way.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. Listen, Jim.
But ask him about his swimming pool filter.
We'll talk about the swimming pool.
Yeah.
Listen, Jim Terry, you've been a wonderful guest, and we appreciate your time.
Well, I really appreciate talking to you guys, and like I say, I'm hoping we can get down there one of these days.
Tell the wife and kids hello.
I sure will.
Thank you much. Jim Terry, our guest, back with more Handyman Show in just a second. Hang on.
A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com. Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Oh, who's doing his imitation of Don Patterson? Don had a question.
Okay, yes, question? You guys, less knowledgeable. We're building, have the roof on the swimming pool pavilion.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. 70 so feet away from my back porch house.
Yeah.
I want to put some lights on the pavilion that I can turn on from my back porch, but I did not run wire. Could, but did not. Is there a remote control like you do? Is there
like
infrared?
Like a garage door opener.
Like a garage. Can you turn remote control?
Yes, I'm sure there's an infrared connection you can do that with. I would bet you there is. Infrared.
We're going to pursue that. I'm going to go to our lighting thing here on the loop, you know, rather than going like to Lowe's. These people are light specialists, and
they're nice people. I mean, they're not too expensive. They're nice. They will know. Paul Abney probably know.
Well, yeah, and I really wouldn't necessarily want to turn on all of the lights. Like if I had some perimeter lights.
Yeah.
And I could hardwire it, but I mean we're talking digging under one sidewalk.
No, you can do it.
Infrared.com or something.
I bet infrared.com would do it.
I bet it exists. I own it.
Probably.
I think I domain that.
But you could, you know, and you're going to want, eventually, you're going to want a wireless a computer. You're going to want to sit at the table.
Absolutely.
And be on the
internet. I'd love it.
Oh, yeah.
I think, yeah.
Hey, man, Jim Terry, sir. Thank you, sir. Good guest.
Yeah, we was a great guest.
Appreciate you. Keep on keeping on. You're the kind of blind person that we want to talk to. Anyway, thank you, Tom Houston.
Yes, sir.
You did a hell of a job.
Oh,
wonderful.
Thank you.
Hell of a job.
Wonderful.
Don Shaw and Don Patterson, of course, always. And
did a hell of a job.
Did a hell of a job.
Hell of a job.
If I could get through with my sore throat, I'll do a hell of a job next week. I'm Phil Parr. I see, said the blind man.
Let's see if you do this, it sounds like you're on the phone.
As he picked up his hammer and saw. Bye.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.